The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Well, we find out from Mike Liz that Broncos have named some captains. Okay. Well, what's your reaction to that? We've got Von Miller. We got Cortland Sutton, Teddy Bridgewater, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, and Brandon McManus. Okay. That's cool. We got Matt Sheldon, who is a football analytic guy, and he's going to be the voice in Vic Fangio's ears. Okay. All right. Broncos back to work. It was a balmy 94 degrees during practice today. So, of course, in that kind of weather, you know, Vic Fangio, I mean, of course, he's going to be wearing a sweatshirt. But, duh. I mean, when you go to your Labor Day barbecue and it's in the 90s, say you're sitting around the pool, you really think, where's the guy in the sweatshirt? He's who I need to be hanging out with. So, a couple of interesting things. There are some changes here with the Broncos that are worth noting. We always joked around that when Vic Fangio first got here as the head coach, you know, without a suit. Because, I mean, why would you ever own a suit? You're in your 60s and you're interviewing for a head coaching job. Suit? I mean, why own one of those? And then at his opening press conference, he was given a pair of like khaki pants and they got from a coach's room. I guess in coaching rooms, they just have extra khaki pants laying around and they just put some pins through it. And so that's good enough, coach. Get out there. Isn't that charming? But in Vic Fangio's world, we always speculated there were ways as an assistant coach. He thought to himself, if I'm ever the guy, this is what I'm going to do. And we joked like from The Waterboy, Henry Winkler's character. Oh, man, I do not know his name. What was Henry Winkler? What was that coach's name? Anyways, he had the green notebook that was stolen. But in that green notebook, that's where you put all your plays. That's where you put your deepest thoughts. That's where you just, if I can only do it my way, what would it look like? So we joke around that in Vic Fangio's green notebook, you know, there are certain things in there. Certain things that if I get it my way, by golly gosh, we're going to do things the right way. And one of those things, no captains. No established captains. We are going to just, you know, it's like, hey, there's, Tim. Tim's an intern. Been with the company for 4 months. He's, employee of the quarter. Let's hear it for Tim. You look around and most people are like, who the hell is Tim? But then they realize, well, Tim is the lowest paid guy here, and he just got himself a $50 gift certificate to Schlotsky's because we really love Tim and we just want to keep him around. That's how the Broncos were doing their captains the past couple of years. It was like, well, this guy, he had a good week. Mike Purcell, local kid. You guys know Mike, Highlands Ranch. He's a captain. His name's Mike. Well, not this year. So that's changed. Cross that off the green notebook, the replaceable captains. Now we have, that's it. Teddy Bridgewater, Von Miller, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, Brandon McManus, Cortland Sutton. Okay. Teddy Bridgewater has to be the captain because he's the quarterback? I guess. I guess like when you're the team and you're voting, you're like, well, who's the Teddy? So that means if Drew was the quarterback, he would have been voted the captain. Okay. Vaughn. Vaughn, you know, I mean, I guess Vaughn's just got to be a captain because, I mean, he's Vaughn Miller. Justin Simmons has to be a captain because he's the highest paid. And the guy that deserves to be the captain is Kareem Jackson. If you go out to a Broncos practice, if you pay attention, if you watch what actually happens, Kareem Jackson's the guy. Kareem Jackson's the man. He's the leader. He's the vocal leader. He's a freaking unbelievable player. He stirs the pot. They follow his lead. It, you know, in 2015, it's Kareem Jackson would have been great in that defense. They just had a ton of leaders on that 2015 defense. Hey, Chris Harris, they have Aqib Talib. I mean, you got DeMarcus Ware. And it's not just about being loud. It's like really being a leader. Vaughn, hey, Vaughn's Vaughn. You know, Vaughn's Vaughn. So you got, and Vaughn's tried hard over the years to maintain that role. It's just, you know, he's Vaughn. So I guess he becomes a captain. Justin Simmons is more of like the political captain. I mean, he's an unquestioned leader. He is going to be here for many years, which is wonderful. So that makes sense too. Brandon McManus, I mean, you know, if you're going to name somebody on special teams the captain, it's got to be Brandon McManus. You have a unit that's bereft of significant in the past, from what we were told, talent. Except for Brandon McManus. And then Courtland Sutton. That one surprised me. That is a high compliment to Courtland Sutton in terms of what his teammates think of him. That's pretty cool. Good for you, Courtland. That's awesome. I do believe that his teammates voted for him. But look who they didn't vote for. Say, so we're just talking offense now because Teddy just gets in. It's Courtland Sutton. We're just talking offense. Graham Glasgow doesn't get it, who's an established vet. Dalton Risner doesn't get it, which, you know, he kind of just comes across as a natural captain and leader, and he certainly fit that bill at Kansas State, and he, you know, we joke around about, you know, what office he's running for every time he talks to the media. It just, I don't know, seems kind of natural Dalton Risner would be that, but no. And then Garrett Bowles. Now, this doesn't surprise me, okay? I'm not surprised by this. But on the surface, you would say Garrett Bowles makes a lot of sense. Just sign a big deal. He's the best left tackle in the league. Just ask him. It does show you to a degree, okay? Just for a second, to a degree, it shows you what teammates think of at least Courtland Sutton compared to Garrett Bowles. Courtland Sutton compared to Dalton Risner. For whatever it's worth, because I mean, why would they fake that? There's no reason for them to fix Courtland Sutton to be a captain. I absolutely believe that's the way it was voted. I think some other things are kind of arranged. They say it's not, but okay. I think the quarterback is completely arranged, although maybe the team just feels guilty like we got to vote for the quarterback. That's just what we always do. So. Kareem Jackson is, that makes perfect sense. If you're going to have a special teams captain, it's got to be Brandon McManus. And Courtland Sutton, not Garrett Bowles. Bowles is, it's just that he's just not that kind of guy. He might think he's that kind of guy, but he's just not. So there you go. There are your captains. That's a change in the old little green notebook. Another change is there has been this drama behind the scenes about the analytics person in Vic Fangio's head. And Mitch Tanny was an interesting cat. Mitch Tanny had been around for a while. He had a significant confidence level. He probably was, probably meaning he was, happy to voice his opinion on things. And him and Vic Fangio just fell away from each other. So out Mitch goes. And then they bring in a group of people. And you say, oh, okay, well, this is a group. So I was like, oh, well, they're just getting rid of this whole, you know, individual guy thing. Forget it. You know, it doesn't matter. But of course you put yourself in a situation where you got timeouts in your pocket. You can use them all when you're losing and when you're winning. You can use timeouts at any point. You don't get extra points by hanging on to timeouts. And, you know, Vic, you know, I guess he needed a little help there. You talk about, with everything else going on and all the other difficulties happening, you can't lose a game because you make a boneheaded decision about some very strategery-like decisions that anybody can do from their couch. You got to be better than that. It was always amazing to me that any head coach would get hired where that skill isn't the best in the organization. Like, the one area the head coach should have is a strategic philosophy and concept of how to win a game in any sport. That guy should be your top thinker, because ultimately you have to follow his path. He needs to have that awareness better than anybody. I mean, to think that somebody actually has to be in his ear to tell him what to do in certain situations, to me, is actually kind of a joke. I mean, shouldn't you be the guy that leads the charge in that department? Shouldn't you be the one? I mean, you're the head coach. We hired you. I mean, that doesn't come up in the interview? Coach, what's your philosophy? How would you handle things? Coach, here's the situation. What would you do? How do you feel about, you know, going forward on fourth down? I don't know. I mean, how do you not ask a coach situational type of questions and how he would handle it? No. This is like football for dummies, man. I mean, the coach has got to be the guy. You don't think Bill Belichick is the guy? Andy Reid is the guy? Pete Carroll's the guy when it comes to those decisions? I mean, Pete just forgot to hand it off to Marshawn Lynch repeatedly. But now we know, because of today, Matt Sheldon. All right, here is Vic Fangio about Matt Sheldon.
Yeah, he does analytic-type studies, you know, more football-oriented. When I say more football-oriented, not, you know, into the deep crunch, you know, it has nothing to do with personnel and all that stuff. It's just a football analytic guy, and he's got connection with me during the game in any type of situational stuff.
All right, man. That's it. We got our guy. So that goes out the window in the green book. Scratch that off. Hey, we're going to have music at practice pretty soon. And now they've changed, and now they're going to have Tuesdays off, not Mondays off, which, you know, like everybody does. So you're seeing a lot of things that Coach Fangio thought, hey, this is really going to be the way. And you know what? Forget that. Forget this. Forget this. Forget that. So there you go. My guy, Mike Kliss. On Matt Sheldon. And we had Mike on earlier, and we said, what's up with Matt Sheldon? And Mike was very honest. He goes, I don't know. But Mike said he would get off the phone with us and do some research, and he has done that. Good for you, Mike Kliss. Mike Kliss on Twitter. Broncos senior analyst Matt Sheldon is a football analytic guy. What are his connections? Gase. Work with Adam Gase in Chicago, the retired Adam Gase. I think Adam's done. He may be happily retired forever, at least this year. Adam Gase, Chicago 2015, Dolphins 17-18, Jets 19-20. Wow, so obviously Adam thought a lot of him. And he did overlap with Fangio in Chicago. So there you go. That's somebody that I guess Fangio trusts. That's a guy that he's got a previous relationship with. So we'll see if that makes a difference. Thank you, Mike. But I swear, great question, whoever asked it. Because, I mean, who the hell's Matt Sheldon? Think about how much time we have spent complaining, digging into, thinking about, frustrated by game decisions last year. I mean, it seemed endless. And what are we talking about? We're not talking about a team that's destined to win 13 games. Oh, they only won 12. We're all right, you know. Oh, they only won 11. I mean, you just screwed around with a couple games. They're still in the playoffs. Stinks, you know, this, that. We could have had a couple, but, you know, let's go. We're in the playoffs. No. What, you think the Broncos can give away games? Yeah, please. So here we go. We're into a new season. We're into a different vibe. We're making different changes. We're just doing things differently. Thank goodness. Because all that stuff in the little green notebook, it was, really, seriously, it's going to be insane when they just start having music at practice. I mean, that is, that's going to be bananas when that happens. So now we turn our lonely eyes to the Giants and what they have or what they don't have. And the answer to these questions is, well, we really don't know. Who knows? Other than the fact that nobody has real high expectations for the Broncos, although it is interesting to see, although the expectations for the Broncos aren't all that high overall, the expectations for their defense are through the roof. I mean, everybody's got the Broncos defense as being 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, at the worst, top 5 in the league, and you get it. Highest paid secondary by a mile. Bradley Chubb did practice today, which is great. So did Noah Fant. Okay, feeling better about that. All right. So ultimately, the Broncos, with the exception of, Oshamudia and Boone, Broncos pretty healthy, really healthy. So you got through that. Every single conversation about the Broncos is about the quarterback position and what it's going to be. And hey, you had the opportunity to make the right choice and start Drew Lock. You had it. It was right there. It didn't have to think about it that hard. And for all of those who think, oh, yeah, no, oh, my God, Teddy Bridgewater just crazily outplayed Drew Lock. I might have missed in training camp 2 practices because we were in Canton. That's it. Broadcasting from Canton. Being in Cleveland. Being a Clevelander. To think that Teddy Bridgewater somehow blew away Drew Lock, it's silly. It's not true. I don't even know what to say when I keep hearing, he did not. And if you want to look at their cumulative numbers through the 3 preseason games, they're identical to the degree where why wouldn't you take a chance to see what you could do with Drew Lock, especially in the beginning of the season. And then if you need to abandon ship and go with Teddy, fine. But what was this all about? Starting Teddy Bridgewater and not drafting Justin Fields or Mac Jones? Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. If you wanted to go through a farce of, oh, you know, it's a competition and we're raising the bar for Drew. Okay, I mean, that seemed to work. He put on weight. He looked good. He was playing better by, according to everybody. Drew's our starter. Let's see how it goes. And then if you start off 1-4 and it's a disaster and you're just like, all right, didn't work out. Now let's try out Teddy and we can see how that goes. Instead, we're doing it the other way around. Makes no sense. Zero sense. But Teddy Bridgewater's your captain. And now what? Now you hope that it's Ryan Tannehill, I guess. I don't feel bad for professional athletes. I don't feel bad for millionaires. I don't feel bad for them. But I can empathize a little bit. This is another day for Drew Lock where Teddy Bridgewater's the captain. I mean, he's barely been here. Drew's been here for 3 years. Start 1-4. Oh my God. I can't. I seriously, there's just too much talent on the team to start 1-4. And the defense is for real. The defense is legit. You just have to avoid stupid things and you put up, you know, I don't know, man, 19 to 23 points. And I know that is an absurdly low amount of points, but this defense will get you some W's. They'll get you turnovers. They'll put you in good field position. And of course, it's a mess in terms of what you do with Patrick Surtain. Because not playing Patrick Surtain is that's another dumb move. Right from the get-go. He's got to play. And you're rolling out that, oh, well, he's playing, you know, three different positions, so maybe his development. Well, no kidding. You couldn't make your mind up. You did a Carly Rae Jepsen, call me maybe, for trades that just haven't worked. So now you're in a pickle. Now what do you do? Now you got to, what, bench Callahan or Darby or Fuller? I don't know. You got to bench somebody who's making millions of dollars because not that he's a bad pick in terms of cornerback. It's just it wasn't the right pick at the right time. And you're starting Teddy Bridgewater. You realize that the Broncos would still have the number one defense in the NFL. The number one defense in the NFL. They still would have the number one defense in the NFL. And you could also have Justin Fields. And start Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, that's why at the end of the day, hey, it's cool that George Payton, you know, is concerned about special teams. I'm sure he does a great job finding those type of guys. That's cool, because I think Elway would rather, I think he'd rather cut off a pinky finger than study special teams tape. So that's awesome that we're nailing that down. What about the quarterback? But again, start off with a schedule that everybody should be on board with Teddy because they should win. They should win. They should win. 1-4. My goodness, please. So with that, the leadership is set. The preseason is done. We have a real opponent to look forward to. The Broncos have an off day just like everybody else. All seems right in the world. And on a 95 degree day, that dude at the pool looking for a hot dog, maybe some meatballs, is wearing a sweatshirt. Off we go. The NFL season is upon us. Labor Day is almost behind us. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, Tyler is off. It's Labor Day. He had some family commitments. People are speculating Tyler just is taking a long bathroom break. We all, and then, yes, giving me props for being here on Labor Day. Happy to be here on Labor Day. Thrilled to be here on Labor Day. I had a fantastic weekend up in Steamboat. By the way, you haven't been to Steamboat in a while. They are doing some crazy construction at the base of the mountain. The gondola and all that has just been totally ripped up, and it's pretty impressive what they got planned on going in there. So had a wonderful time in third grade. This is a part of my Broncos roots. If you didn't know this about me, my dad, PETA, who's awesome, wanted to be the next Hunter Thompson. And instead of moving to Pitkin County, which we probably should have, the Aspen area, he moved our family when I was going into third grade to Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And he wrote a book. It didn't get published. And we moved back to Massachusetts in less than a year, but we moved up north rather than down south in Massachusetts because there might have been an issue with my mom and her mother-in-law. may have been dicey. So we were there for less than a year. And the apartment complex, if you do follow me on Twitter, I've done this before, but I went back to where I spent a year when I was in third grade, Mrs. Stanko's class. That's right. My third grade teacher was Mrs. Stanko. And so I've always had this, you know, this kind of affinity for Steamboat in that area. Spent a year there. Didn't know what the hell was going on. Didn't understand what we were doing living in an apartment instead of a house, but made some friends, spent third grade there. Then we just left, like in the cover of darkness. But that year was pretty significant when it came to the Broncos. It's the first year the Broncos went to a Super Bowl. So I, even though I've covered the Broncos for 21 years being here in Colorado, loving every second of it, of course, the guys that I get nervous around are sort of like, woof, woo. Craig Morton, Haven Moses, Tom Jackson, Orange Crush defense. Those were my heroes growing up. That is when I first became a sports fan. Really. Sort of already loved baseball and the Red Sox and all that from being in Massachusetts, but my love for the Denver Broncos was, it was unbelievable. And it was so exciting. And it did translate out there, but we lived in Steamboat. We thought Denver was the other side of the moon. So they had a great weekend up there. It was cool to go back to, you know, where you spent 44 years ago. Wild to go back there. Ran a cool race. 10K at 10K, a mountain race, about a trail race. 1,200 feet of elevation, 3 miles straight up the hill, then through this trail. This was something out of like Forrest Gumpy. Like through this meadow and high elevations and over Dumont Lake up there at Rabbit Ears Pass. Just awesome. If it wasn't for the fact that I was getting passed by, like, everybody, I would have enjoyed it a lot more. But, again, you want to follow some of those adventures at DMAC1043. I love sharing them. A lot of people say, you know, stop talking about yourself. But every now and then, more often than not, I find out from last year at this time being horrifically overweight, recovering from knee surgery, not able to do anything. And in a year's time to be able to do stuff like that, took our bikes with us, my wife and I, and rode my bike up Rabbit Ears Pass today, up from downtown basically to the one of the summits of Rabbit Ears Pass, rode it uphill 12 miles on the day after running the race. It's just great to live in Colorado, to be alive, and hopefully to be a Broncos fan, by the way. Because I'll tell you this, that spirit of a championship team back in the late 70s, I don't know. Sure, that probably dates me. I get it. And it wasn't that long ago, 2015, and it certainly wasn't that long ago. Well, it wasn't that long ago, to the late 90s. It just feels like it's been forever, right? I mean, it just wasn't really that long ago. But it just feels like forever. So I think ultimately what the Broncos are looking for here as they start their season is just to give the fans some hope. I am hoping that Teddy Bridgewater does that. I am. He's a good dude. He's a team captain. He makes opening statements. He has the respect of all of his teammates. He had similar stats to Drew Locke in the preseason. He played, good enough compared to Drew Locke, I guess. I mean, the biggest problem with Teddy Bridgewater is it's just like the mind-boggling lack of what the hell are we doing long-term. But we know what's going on here. Seismic change. In ownership is likely to happen by next March. Who knows why you'd even want to fire Vic Fangio at this point? I mean, you're going to have a new owner anyway, whether it's Brittany, which is highly unlikely, by the way, or some, you know, multi-billionaire. You know, it's funny to see all that development in Steamboat, to think that, like, a super rich person wouldn't come in here and just get the construction cranes moving. It's ridiculous. Of course they would. I mean, just look around, man. Money can make miracles happen. and you come in with multi-billions of dollars, you think they just are like that high down to Empower Field, the physical building itself? Did you see Hard Knocks? Did you see the star? Have you seen what... We talked about how incredible Folsom Field is now, that they've done massive amounts of construction. It can happen, and can happen in a very short period of time. You got Kroenke Land out there in L.A. housing two teams, middle of freaking nothing special California. But that's going to have... I know they've had some issues, but hey, it can get done, folks. So you're going to see a seismic change here in a year. So what we have on tap, seriously, the mentality of this team right now, and I think it's all right, because it's what you want at the end of the day. What do you really want? You just want this team to be better. You want to have something to root for. You want to have a reason on Sunday to feel good about things. And you know what? I think you do. I think you do. You don't have a great long-term plan here, but you got something exciting for this season. No doubt about it. But it is amazing when we think of all the positive things and you see all the rankings, you see all the speculation about how good the defense is, and then the projections are, this one thing on ESPN is the Broncos start 1-4? Yikes! 1-4 would feel like an unmitigated disaster. You can't start 1-4. The Giants can't wait to dig into them. Can't wait to see what people think about them. Can't wait to find out more. It's tricky in week one, obviously, because you just don't know how everything's going to sort out. I know they've had problems with their offensive line. I know Daniel Jones is inconsistent at best, although he's developing. Don't forget, Daniel Jones was taken over Drew Lock. Pat Shurmur was the coach at the time. And there was a big feeling the Giants were going to take Drew Lock. They chose Daniel Jones over Drew, and Drew gets to face that reality as the backup quarterback. We do have some more insight on who this Matt Sheldon guy is. Mike Kliss, he's done some research. We had him on earlier. We'll bring him back to find out more about the Fangio Whisperer next.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos-Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Wow, for a rare second appearance, but with updated information. It's the overachiever, 9 News Broncos insider Mike Kliss. Hi, Mike.
You know, I was driving home, and I heard you do your impersonation of Sandy Clough. and try to drive the ship solo and
ship ain't sinking yet, Mike.
No, that's right. But I tell you what, man, you covered about 18 topics.
There you go, pal.
In the 15 minutes that I was listening to.
There you go. I get it all done.
And you guys did shame me into finding out about Sheldon.
All right, so let's update everybody about Matt Sheldon. And first of all, here's what Fangio has said about Sheldon today.
Yeah, he does analytic type studies, you know, more football oriented. When I say more football oriented, not, you know, into the deep crunch, you know, it has nothing to do with personnel and all that stuff. It's just a football analytic guy, and he's got connection with me during the game in any type of situational stuff.
All right, so this is going to be Mitch Tanny, part two, redo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it is. And they've worked together before in Chicago. He's an Adam Gase guy, which isn't much of an endorsement these days.
Yeah.
But I did exchange texts with Adam.
Oh,
we know that Adam was still a heck of a football coach.
Did Adam get back to you?
Yeah, he said the guy's really good, and
okay.
Then he didn't want to expound. He's kind of shutting things down, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
After the experience he just had with the Jets, which
right.
It's too bad it ended like that with Adam, and I hope it doesn't end his coaching career, because, you know, in 2013 he was as hot a coach as you can get,
right?
And really 2011, with Tebow, you know, he had it going with all kinds of different quarterbacks, and just didn't work out as a head coach. But he swears by Matt Sheldon, says he's really good, and you know he's Sheldon followed Gaze around with doing this type of stuff, game management stuff.
Okay.
And so he was with the Dolphins and the Jets and the Bears, and Fangio had him for a couple of years too. So hopefully it all works out.
So what else does he do? I mean, what else is this guy? What's this Monday through Friday like?
Well, these guys, they do projects, and I don't know what kind of, you know, whatever type of projects you can think of. You know, what does the league do on third and four? You know, what do 32 teams do? You know, I'm just throwing out an example.
Let me ask you more, maybe a more specific question.
Mm-hmm.
When we saw in preseason the Broncos be aggressive on fourth down between between their opponents 40 and 50, right? And you know, that's
yeah.
And Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, for example, there was all that talk, the fourth down conspiracy that Teddy got to go for and Drew didn't, right? Because we had to get Brandon McManus some work. That was the excuse. It was
similar but different. The yard line was different, right?
Yeah, it was a 5 yard. It was a 5 yard advantage. It would have been.
It's right. It's a short punt versus a long field.
Mike, it's a
which is big difference.
Okay.
Big difference.
All right, but I would think if Brandon McManus needs work on anything, it's longer field goals, not shorter ones. But
this is a discussion between the guy that thought Bridgewater should be the guy and the guy who thought Drew Locke should be the guy.
There you go.
By the way,
there you
to
go.
All those listeners out there,
that's what we do. So Matt Sheldon is trusted by Vic, I guess. And he'll tell Vic you can use a timeout here or stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I went back and looked at that Tennessee, the opener. And Derrick Henry got the ball with 1:33 left to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for 13 yards into field goal. It went into field goal range.
Right.
To the 20s.
Right.
Yeah, no timeout. The ball was not snapped again until 48 seconds.
Right.
That's 45 seconds that went off the clock.
Can't do it.
And then on the next one, he ran it again, and 17, 18 seconds went off the clock, and Tennessee called timeout. So you're adding it up, and it's a little over a minute that the offense didn't get. Because it wound up Gostkowski. You know, and Vic was doing the old hope he misses strategy because Gostkowski had a terrible game,
right,
as we remember.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And he was hoping he would miss one more time, and that was a strategy. And not, you know, going forward and, you know, trying to save a minute 10 for the offense. As it turned out, they had 17 seconds.
Okay.
And that minute 10, who knows? What would have happened in a minute 10? They lost by two.
But now we got.
They needed a field goal.
Now we got Matt Sheldon. So we're all good. We got a dude.
Timeout.
There you go. We got a guy. Matt Sheldon. Yeah. All right, Mike. I appreciate it. We'll see you. Well, we have a day off tomorrow, right? Day off tomorrow?
Yeah,
imagine that.
Back to the conventional Tuesday day off.
Okay. So we'll see you on Wednesday, all right?
You got it.
There you go. Mike Kliss. Our 9 News Broncos Insider, brought to you, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Hope you had a good Labor Day holiday. A few people said they were grilling, they were listening. Can't get enough of their Broncos news. We appreciate it. We appreciate everybody. My man John Simmer coming in here and working right on. Thank you, John. Richie was, by the way, texting during the show. It's like, Richie, dude, you got the day off. Just, you know. Plenty of work to do tomorrow and the next day, theoretically, right? If you got a day off, take the day off.
To be fair, I was texting him quite a bit, asking some questions.
Oh, you're asking for some
just
help.
The smaller things here. Right. No, not necessarily.
Leave him alone. Yeah. Leave him alone.
He's a good guy.
Leave him alone. But we are, man, we are fired up. We are excited for the season to get going. We are. The Rockies lost today 10-5. But I was pumped to see Kevin Gausman pitch. I mean, I still, and Gilbraith pitched for the Rockies, who's a local kid too. I don't know. I still get You know, I think actually the matchup today, the win, yeah, that's right. Gausman got the win. Freeland got the loss. How about that, man? You had two kids who grew up in this area, who went to respectfully, and then Gilbreth went to, I want to say Horizon, maybe Legacy. I might be wrong on that. But Freeland went to TJ, and Gausman went to Grandview. That is pretty cool when you think about that. You had two pitchers at Coors Field on a holiday that both played high school baseball and grew up here in Colorado, pitching in the major leagues today against each other. I think that's cool. I think the Rocky season is, I don't know, man. I'll probably go to a game or two at the end here. I'm going to get some nice days. Just fun to watch baseball because I love baseball. But the crazy thing about the Rocky season, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be. Although, obviously, it was absolutely horrific on the road. At 45 and 24, they have one of the best, let's see. They're tied for second in terms of home records in the National League, only one game behind the Dodgers and tied with the home record, actually a half game behind, but they both have the Giants and the Rockies both have 45 wins. The Giants at 87 and 50 are the best team in baseball, slightly percentage points better than Tampa. So the Rockies are an even playing ground in terms of home records with the top team in baseball, yet they are objectively putrid on the road. And if they really seriously keep an internal candidate and don't think outside the box, Rockies, I'm you're going to lose me. I am trying my best to hang in there with you. I can see the good things of it. But if you don't think you need a different philosophical approach on how you do stuff, you're sadly mistaken. John, thank you, my man. Great job today. And thank everybody for listening. We're fired up for week one of the NFL season, and nobody will have better coverage, opinions, takes, hot takes, and cold takes than us right here at Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.